a king, and he said, "For this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness unto the truth." And Pilate went away and said, "What is truth?" And I'd like to attempt to answer that question, at least in part. Part of what truth is. And this was some thoughts that were spurred by some of the comments the brethren had on Thursday night. And I pray that maybe some of the thoughts that I share will spur some thoughts for you too. So this is how the body of Christ works. We minister to one another, and that spurs thoughts with another person, and they share it with someone else, and it's like joints and bands, nourishment being ministered to the parts of the body. When man sinned, the spiritual world was cut off from man's sight. All the heavenly beings, the angels and seraphim and cherubim, the living creatures and the elders, and God's own presence were cut off. They could not be seen. Man is just left with just what is seen. And all of the spiritual realm, well, it didn't go away. It's still here, but it's just unseen now. And so we have another spiritual world all around us. It's here. It is very much real. In fact, it's more real than this physical one, because this physical one, in a sense, is temporal. And so it is going to be vanishing away, and the eternal, the unseen, is going to remain. Hebrews, it says, that which can be shaken will be shaken, that which cannot be shaken might remain. And so I want you to have this image in your mind that all around us there's a spiritual world. And we interact with that spiritual world by faith. So God had separated himself, his presence, his visible presence from man because of man's sin, except for once when God was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then God's very presence came and came among men. Jesus came a light into the world. And he showed us the Father. He was God manifest in the flesh. And so Jesus brought knowledge of this spiritual world and knowledge of God himself and actually what God was like. He brought that right into the world, to the visible world, so that we could see him. And he lived among us. Jesus said, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." So the only thing that mankind knows about God was revealed by Jesus. Amen. And Jesus is called the image of the invisible God. God is invisible. But Jesus is the manifestation of God. The image of that. And in 1 Timothy 6:16 says, "Who only hath immortality, dwelling in light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be glory and honor, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." So the reason that God's hidden himself is because mankind would just be destroyed if he didn't. He's dwelling in light that no man can approach unto. His purity and holiness and glory are such that fallen mankind could not endure that presence. And so, in a sense, it's a mercy that we are cut off from that holy world. But it is very real, and it is interacting with our physical world in various places. God revealed himself to people through his word, through what was spoken. They didn't see a similitude on the mount when God spoke with them. They just heard a voice. So God interacted with us through his word. In other words, God was speaking truth. But the fullness of God's revelation of himself to us in this dark, blind kind of world was when Christ came into the world and showed us the Father. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us." He said, "Have I been so long time with you and you've not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father." Now, truth. The world thinks of truth as what is seen and can be demonstrated. So they say, "I'm standing here. How do you know that?" "Well, because I can see you." It's seen. Or it can be repeated. But see, the truth that we're talking about in the scripture reveals something that is not seen. The truth of the scripture reveals what really is. So if you think of truth as what really is, and this is the aspect of truth I wanted to talk about tonight. So think about faith's relationship to truth. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith, see, can get a hold of the things that aren't seen. Faith can see that unseen world. So when the scripture tells us there's an innumerable company of angels that we've come to, we know that because of faith. We believe it. And so we can see it. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. The world, all they have is sight. But we have been given faith, and so we can see the truth of things. Faith is how we see. Even in this world, sight can be misleading. People thought they saw things that they didn't really see. It happens all the time. But faith, if it's based on what the Word of God is, that's what true faith is. It's believing what God has said. It is always perfectly right and true. Now, our interpretation of it may need some help. But the Word of God and what it is revealing is perfectly true. And our faith is how we see that. It's how we understand. Faith can see what truly is. Faith can see what sight can't see. It sees the unseen. So the reality is, the truth is, that we are a fallen race under the wrath of God. This is true. And that God has sent Jesus into the world to be the Savior of the world, and that he did bear our sins in his own body on the tree. In fact, it was dark during that time on the cross, so no one could see anything. No one knew what was taking place there. It was revealed to us by God's word. And so we see it by faith, and we know that was true. That's what really is. And we know that now we live among a world that's fallen, and that Satan is the god of this world, and he's blinded the minds of them that believe not. And so in this world, we have the believers who can see this unseen world, see by faith, and you have the unbelievers. And the unbelievers will at one day see Jesus coming. And then this separation will be broken down. God will be revealed from heaven, and every eye shall see him. And then there will be the judgment day. But because we have faith, we can see this beforehand. We know this is what really is going to happen. We know that Jesus really is among us. We know that God put his Holy Spirit in us. This is the truth. And we know it by faith. John wrote in 1 John 2, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. No lie is of the truth. I like that. There's nothing false in the Scripture. You can trust it completely. And 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In other words, you're not seeing it correctly. You're not seeing what really is. Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So how can the truth make you free? If you see what really is, you see that sin will separate you from God. If you see that you've been born again and you're a new creature, if you see that you have this hope of being with God and seeing him and being made like him, all these things, if you can see them, then you know what really is and you can be free from sin. So you see how truth is a way to set you free. There are truths about who you have become in Christ that if you don't know them, you won't have victory. But if you know these things, if you know the truth, they make you to be an overcomer. So that's how critical truth is. So we see, we understand, we know by faith. These are things that we know. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Amen. So in other words, that's something that's unseen outwardly, but God revealing it to us means that we can see it now. At least in measure. Because the Spirit he's given us searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And Peter said, having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We live the way that we do because of what we know by faith. And that's what truth is. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, our light affliction works for us. And then he said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're actually looking at these things. So there are a lot of things about this world that we know because it's been revealed to us and because we believe it. Of course, the world doesn't have to be blind. They could believe. If they believed, then they could know this true. But as it is, They refuse to see and are blinded. So truth is reality. In Colossians 2, 16 and 17, he said, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Now the body, as compared to the shadow that's cast by the body, are very different things. And the NIV there says, "The reality, however, is found in Christ." That's the reality. So when God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her." Now, right when God said that, of course, this is true. This is real. This is what is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Nothing can stop it. And so God said, "I will give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Do you remember that? And remember Sarah laughed after this. And God said, wherefore did Sarah laugh? But Abraham laughed first. Maybe he should have told Sarah. Maybe the Lord is saying, why did Sarah laugh? Because I told you, and you laughed. And said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." And God said, "Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed." Indeed, this is what's really going to happen. "And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Mm-hmm. So when God says something, that is what truth is. That is reality. And the smart thing to do is to believe God. Mm-hmm. That's what faith is. You believe him. And Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So everything that is hidden and covered now is going to be revealed. Jesus said, "There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known." There's coming a day when the light of God's glory is going to just burst through and do away with all the darkness, and then everything is exposed. Everything that is real is exposed. Mm-hmm. And everyone will see there is a God. Mm-hmm. I have been sinning against him and rejecting him. He did send his son to pay the price for my sin. Then everything will be revealed. So it happens, the reality or truth happens by manifestation. God opens it up. Deuteronomy 29:29, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." God still has lots of secret things, but he has revealed a lot to us so that we can see and we can know the truth. Daniel said, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets." Things that can't be seen, God reveals them. It 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, listen to this. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves unto every man's conscience in the sight of God. Manifestation of the truth. By opening up what is true, by showing what is real. And then he said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Us the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So this light of the glorious gospel shines to someone, then they can see. They can understand truth. And so the world wonders, how can you be so sure? Well, the light has shined and it's opened our eyes and we can see the truth. Amen. When God reveals it, it's as plain as day. And so then that view of truth, you see that all false doctrine is just that which is a lie, that which is not real. When Satan said, hath God said, and he said, ye shall not surely die. That was wrong. That was a lie. What really happened was that they did die. Or when the false prophet says, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or where is the God of judgments? That's not true. That's not what really is. It's a lie. Now, why is truth so important? Well, it's the only way to be saved. You can't be saved without knowing the truth. God will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's God's means of saving us, helping us to see the truth, and those that believe will be saved. So, truth is the object of faith. We believe what God has revealed. It is how we're saved. And then in 2 Thessalonians 2, talking about those that perish because they received not a love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. See, they don't believe the truth, they're going to be damned. But then he said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So that doesn't get more basic than that. That's how we're saved, believing the truth. And truth must be proclaimed also. We proclaim the truth. When we've seen something, you should tell someone else. You proclaim it. And this happens all the time. The brethren get together. Someone said, I've seen something in the scripture. And they share what they've seen. And then the others can see it too. And then someone sees a little more or in a different way. So it's important to proclaim it. Because the church is called the pillar and ground of the truth. Pillar, it's like this supporting structure. It's supporting, it's holding up the truth. And the ground is like the foundation. The truth is given to the church. And the church is to proclaim it. And to be that upholding the truth and proclaiming it. So as we speak the truth in love, that's how we grow up into Him. speaking the truth, may grow up into him in all things. And then also notice that truth is described as being in believers. Mm-hmm. In the believers. It said this in 2 John 2 that we studied Thursday night. For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. And then 3 John 3, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even in as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So truth is in you, and we must abide in the truth. And we must walk in the truth. And we must obey the truth. So the truth is a very vital part of our life in Christ. And I'll conclude with just 1 John 2:24, where he said, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. So this is so critical. Truth, that which you've heard from the beginning, let it remain in you. Don't let it slip. Don't let it go away. Don't let other interests choke out the Word of God. Don't let other things come in. You have to let it remain in you. But if you do, then you will continue in the Son. It's a sure way. You will continue if the truth remains in you. So I pray that you'll think about these things and be encouraged to know that we can see things that the world can't see. Mm-hmm. We know things that they just have no idea about. But it's a glorious privilege that God has opened our eyes. Your thoughts or comments?
That statement that Jesus made to Pilate, that he said, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Yeah. That made me think of Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that eternal purpose is what he is doing through Christ. And that's what Christ came to proclaim. What God was doing through him, or about to do before him, in him. Mm-hmm. But this is the truth of God.
Yeah.
Everything that God is doing is purposed in Christ Jesus himself. And this, and of course Pilate could not see this because Pilate was of the world. But God has given us mercy and grace that we're able to see this and proclaim it.
Yeah.
We can see that truth. And that truth, the truth is, no matter what happens, is still stable and founded. I mean, you cannot truly shake the truth. It's firm.
Right.
But one day, we're going to see the ultimate truth in God. And that was Christ Jesus. And those eternal purposes, when they are finally come to the culmination, the completeness of them, we're going to see the ultimate truth of God.
Mm-hmm.
Is what he has done through Christ. Mm-hmm. And the truth will be that we will be his people and he will be our God.
Yeah. Amen.
And that hell and death and all those who are not written in the book of life, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
So we see the two truths that are going to be left after Christ returns.
Mm-hmm. Christ comes back, the heavens split open. Mm-hmm. We can say, I knew this was going to happen.
We were waiting.
I knew it. Yeah, this is our God.
That's right.
That man that was healed, born blind and healed. They said, we know that this man is a sinner. He said, whether he's a sinner or no, But this one thing I know, once I was blind and now I see. Mm-hmm. You can't convince someone who's been made to see mm-hmm. that the truth is not real.
Moses endured as seeing him who was invisible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The truth isn't necessarily visible, but that doesn't make it any less true.
Mm-hmm.
God
right.
said it, and it's the truth, and so because of that, we endure. We believe. If it's obvious and apparent, it really doesn't take any faith. It takes faith mm-hmm. to believe what God has said, and we believe it because we are convinced that that's true. Mm-hmm. It affects everything we do, our knowledge of the truth. We want to receive the love of the truth, because if you don't, you're among those that are damned and
who believe not the truth but have pleasure.
Yeah, it's just, it informs, but more than that, it determines everything we do if we believe the truth. The
yes.
unseen realities. Those unseen realities are really more real than the things that we see, because this is just temporary.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to remember that. Sometimes people think, no, pie in the sky, by and by, you're going to just believe the things you don't see, but the real things, you know. Well, that's totally backwards. And the Holy Spirit has revealed the truth to you. You recognize mm-hmm. that this is temporary, and that the reality is what will burst upon us when Jesus comes back.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, we interact with the spiritual realm now every day. This is, we've tasted of the heavenly gift and the powers of the world to come. The good word of God. We have this taste. We are interacting with the unseen world. Okay, thank you for your comments. Let's stand for prayer.